Hi, welcome to the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast. This is Diane, your lactation consultant.
And I'm Abby, the Badass Breastfeeder. And today's episode is brought to you by Pump and Pal. Pump and Pal's angled flanges are here to upgrade your pumping journey. And we will hear more from our sponsor later, but you can head to badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com and check out our sponsor page. If you ever need anything, see if you can give them any of your business because they make this podcast possible. And while you're there, scroll down and enter your email address and we'll send episodes straight to your inbox every week. And check out our shop page because the holidays are coming and you might want to get some badass merch. And we are on Patreon and we would love to see you there for our mini podcasts and our extra ad-free episodes, our live hangouts Diane and I do with the folks over there. And you can head to the top link wherever you're listening from in the show notes, just scroll down, and or at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com. You can find that as well. Pick your tier and we'll see you there. And we're still holding our giveaway of reviews around the internet. So it's going to be written reviews. It can be stars. Somebody reached out to me recently, asked me if stars were okay. Yes, stars are good. Wherever you're listening from, just leave the review however they let you do it. Send us a screenshot to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com and we'll send you a goodie bag of stickers and thank you for nursing in public cards. And now Diane has our review of the week.
I do. And here we go. Hi there. My name is Chelsea. I'm a labor and delivery and postpartum nurse and mama of two. I started listening to the podcast when I returned back from maternity leave with my daughter in 2020 at the height of COVID. I struggled with severe postpartum anxiety and depression. This podcast kept me going on those hard days. I nursed my daughter for 3 years and I'm going strong with my 3-month-old. Abby and Diane are a wealth of knowledge and a must listen for all breastfeeding mamas. I work at a baby-friendly hospital. We are nothing like the horrors I hear you guys talk about from other hospitals. I feel like I'm very competent and trained in breastfeeding and still continue to learn more and more from this podcast. Over the years, I've brought my knowledge from this podcast to help new mamas. Even with my years of breastfeeding and knowledge, my son was born with a tongue and lip tie, which I chose to get released shortly after birth. The episode on ties and oral tension was very helpful. I recommend this podcast to anyone who plans on breastfeeding. It's a must listen. So she is just adorable, and I am so glad. Thank you, Chelsea, for sharing your info with your patients. I think that's amazing. And we've had others like labor and delivery nurses or people that work in postpartum and stuff like that write in before too. And I always just think it's amazing that they're sharing this information. So thank you so much for that. And that's why we do this podcast, you know, to put the info out there. So thanks for sharing it.
Yeah. I mean, it helps to reach the individual, but then when you reach an individual who can reach a whole bunch of people, then that's really... really very helpful to have hospital staff listening.
And she's going strong with her second baby. So good for you.
Awesome.
And it's
congratulations.
You know, I know. Congratulations to you because it's hard to be a working mom. So I give you so much credit for that as well. It's no joke.
No. I can't imagine.
And I know. But speaking of working moms, we're going to talk today to Lisa from Series Chill.
She's
because
back.
She is back. And the last time we spoke with her, we did an interview about milk storage, if I remember correctly. We talked about milk. It was like a year and a half ago or something, at least.
Yeah. It's one of our most downloaded episodes.
Yeah, it's a popular one. Everyone wants to know how to store their milk. And so that was a really good one. So we figured we'd bring her back. And we're actually today talking about something totally different. We're going to talk about sustainability and breastfeeding and how those things go together. And she is always fun to talk to. Like, I could have gone on and on with her. We could have gone on forever. But we did cap it. So you guys don't have to listen for 4 hours or anything like that to us jabbering back and forth.
All right. Enjoy.
Enjoy. Hi, you are with Diane from the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast with Lisa from Series Chill. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Diane.
How are you?
I am so good. I have to say one of the best times I've had since being a founder. And I guess that's a low bar because there's been a lot of challenging times, but there has been huge, huge highs. Was the last time we spoke on the Badass Breastfeeder. So I've been looking forward to this for, I don't know, has it been over a year?
It's been a while. Yeah, it has been. It's been a while, and which is why we wanted to have you back again, because we had such a great conversation about milk storage. And of course, we love Series Chill, so we definitely wanted to have you back. But this time, we're going to be doing something a little bit different, which I think is really cool. And we're going to talk a little bit more about sustainability. We did actually, now that I think about it, we did do an episode about keeping things green, saving the planet, sustainability, a while back, but we didn't get into too much depth. So I'm hoping we're going to talk a little bit more about some of this stuff today.
Oh, for sure. And I love the way you glossed over the fact that we talked about breastfeeding myths and how much I tend to rock the boat. And I probably will do it again today. I can be somewhat controversial just because I'm stubborn and I'm a mom and I'm in the thick of it. And anything that makes moms' lives easier, I'm all in. And sometimes that flies in the face of, should we just call it the patriarchy? Is that bad?
No, that's totally not bad. We love people that rock the boat. We're all about that here. You've met us. Yes.
Yeah, I know. Right. So, And I've seen, and I'm pretty sure I've seen the logo. So, I think I'm in good company. But yeah, the breastfeeding myths and breast milk storage, there's just so many barriers. There seems to be so many barriers, and women like you and Abby, just the whole community around badass breastfeeders and all the founders that are in this space, it's changing fast and for the benefit of moms, babies, their partners. And I'm really happy to be a part of it.
Things really are changing a lot, aren't they?
So fast. And yeah. They keep calling it femtech. And I think it's so funny. I mean, I guess that's the best word for it. But it's just because all tech has been pretty much to the benefit of dudes for the last, I don't know, several hundred years. I feel like 1,000 reaches too far back in time, but 100 years. And it's just nice that women are finally taking control of things that they have just bowed their heads to and put up with and just grit their teeth and not necessarily suffered through, but just did their best to survive. And now we all are kind of looking around going, okay, so we're really tough and we could just survive this, but maybe there's a better way and maybe we can have a say in how this journey goes, whether it's our careers or buying a house or raising a child or breastfeeding that baby or supplementing with formula, we can have a real say in it and make it work within the context of the other priorities we might have.
Yeah, it's about time, right? It's just about time. Like, that's all I have to say about that. It is just about time.
And you've helped so many moms. How long have you been helping moms like breastfeeding and parenting? I mean, I've met you in person and I'm very grateful. And I know now how old your son is. So I don't want to age both of us, but how long have you been helping moms? Because it's a significant amount.
Yes. So I've been a lactation consultant, board certified since 2008. So 15 years. I just recertified again, finally just got approved because it's a whole big process to recertify. And then you have to wait with bated breath, whether or not they tell you that they're going to like, your stuff's been accepted. And it's been like, oh my God. So I'm like, is my career over? What's happening?
But your career won't be over. None of us will let you go, just to be clear.
So I was cleared for another 5 years. So I was like, whew. So I've been 15 years doing this, but then of course it takes a little time to actually become board certified. So you could probably tack on another 3 years on top of that. So 18 years, which is longer than I thought I would do anything in my life.
I know, but it's because it's so rewarding, right? And I'm sure you've seen all the change. So when I think of 2008, So there was pretty much just Medela. I mean, was Spectra even a thing?
No.
No. Mm-mm. So it was Medela. Nope. I mean, mm-hmm. which, by the way, great company. They're working to innovate and improve things for moms, but invented by a dude in Switzerland, like, I think, what, in the early 1900s? it's been a while. So yeah. No Spectra, just Medela, no wearables, no cups, no Haka, no Series Chill, no, I mean, it was freeze packs, plastic, some more plastic, and one choice of pump, and no insurance coverage for that pump or for any.
Right, no insurance coverage. Yep. Nope. Mm-mm.
And everybody had to go back to work, like pretty much kick you out of the hospital bed and like get back out there.
Yep. Yep. 6 weeks.
So the reason why we're here today, and I don't want to steer the conversation away from all of the lives that you've changed, but one thing I have to bring up, because we're talking about sustainability and parenting, all of the diapers and plastic bags and wipes, almost all the wipes that were disposed of back when you started helping moms, they're still around. They're still in landfills. They're still with us.
I know. Isn't that just, to think about that is just crazy.
It's,
to know that is just insanity. And you can't help but go, oh my God, like cringe a little bit.
Well, and what I've always done is like cringe and shy away because it gets so overwhelming. You know, I mean, so much of it is like seeing some of the most horrible things that are happening in the world right now or at any point. And you just shy away from it because you're like, I can't look at the landfill that I've created because I had one child or two children and I used disposable diapers because I did. I will acknowledge mm-hmm. that. And I do have to say, I fed my daughter formula. I had wanted to breastfeed, as so many of us do. And because I did not have the benefit of a lactation consultant and I was in labor for a very long time and I had a C-section and all these other reasons, and mostly because I just didn't know, I ended up feeding my daughter formula pretty much from like, I don't know, like her 10th hour of life. And then once you start that, of course, it impacts your supply, and then it's just a cycle. Unless you can get some sort of intervention from a professional or you get the information you need to break the cycle, your supply goes down, and then you're dependent on formula. And I can think of the mountains of plastic that we went through feeding formula because we did the ready-to-feed Similac that I was served up in the hospital. And then also we did the mix, but the facts around it are so crazy. So I'm trying to think of the tons. There's like several tons of metal, 550 million infant formula cans in 2009. So the year you were starting out. 550 million infant formula cans comprising 86 tons of metal and 364,000 tons of paper were added to landfills that year.
Wow.
And our population keeps growing.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the main thing that I want to communicate to everyone who is a huge fan of what you and Abby are doing is that breastfeeding is something you can do for both you and your child. I don't want to put any pressure on anyone because I supplemented with formula with both my daughter and my son because I had to toss so much breast milk with my son when I traveled for work. I just couldn't preserve it. But when you have that opportunity for that like zero carbon emissions opportunity to feed your child and you don't have to generate any waste and you can create that bond, I know there are so many barriers. I don't pretend that work makes it easy for women who want to breastfeed, but there's just so much to be gained as far as your own health, the health of your child, and then the benefits for the environment, which I know matters increasingly to moms out there. It's just, there's just so many levels to it. So it's what got me thinking and it's what caused me to reach out to you and it's a big part of what guides me today for sure.
Well, it's just, it's a piece of the puzzle that we don't really think too much about, you know, because we're so focused on like feeding our baby, which is always first and foremost when we have a new little baby, feeding our baby, how we're going to do it, how it's going to happen, how we make it happen. Nobody's thinking about what's going into a landfill. It's just not something that we're thinking about. So to bring it to the forefront a little bit, I think is really important because you just, you don't really think about how much breastfeeding impacts that. You know what I mean? Like it really, breastfeeding just is, there's such a small footprint that breastfeeding leaves that it is in that way, like such an amazing thing to do and an amazing, that's just an amazing benefit that we're getting out of it that we don't even really talk about. We never think about it. We never talk about it. We just kind of like, I mean, I know I bring it up like when I teach breastfeeding classes, I'm always like, you know, I do bring it up that breastfeeding, you know, leaves such a small carbon footprint. But I don't know how many other people ever actually give that any kind of consideration whatsoever.
Yeah. And I think probably because it's a hard, it's so, to your point, when I had my kids, all I was thinking about was keeping them alive and whatever I had to do, you know, and that whole fed is best is so controversial and there's so much stuff around it. And I still appreciate the phrase. I mean, it we need to acknowledge that more needs to be done to support all parents in breastfeeding because breastfed really does have the greatest measurable benefits. And that's not to say that formula feeding should be a shameful thing. I have a lot of mom guilt for a kajillion reasons, but it's just, it's the impacts of breastfeeding your child. It is, it's funny because they say it has the world's lowest food miles and food waste. It is such a, I think if it's thought about in the right way, it's not wasteful, but a mother, I heard one amazing scholar speak about breastfeeding and a person who is breastfeeding or nursing, chest feeding a child is liquefying their body to sustain another life. And it doesn't have a lot of waste unless we're throwing it away or we're dismissing it or we're not valuing it. And I think that maybe that's why there's still so much waste around parenting and so little appreciation for the work that a mother pours into breastfeeding and then making a mother or a parent who chooses to nurse their child, that to go back to work or to go back out into the world and continue that journey and that, you know, lowest food miles and food waste path is exceptional. And I think until we really appreciate it, there's still going to be a lot of room for formula companies to advocate for parents to, you know, go that route, even if breastfeeding still may be an option for them. I don't know. Maybe that's like a controversial or unfair thing to say. I don't want to sound like, I don't want to sound dismissive of parents that feel that they can't. I just think that there are so many barriers put in people's way that parents get stopped. It's not that they can't, it's that they get stopped by the system that we're still existing
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely. There's a barrier at every turn, it feels like.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that our, you know, that parents can keep it going the way they do. And it is just, you know, because there are so many barriers. I was just thinking about this the other day. We had done an episode, I can't remember when. It was unbelievable time. Because Roe v. Wade had just been overturned. we were in a formula restricted time where they had had the recall. So formula was very, very hard to get. They didn't pass the Pump Act. The AAP puts out
a statement 2 years
saying that they wanted us to go to 2 years. And we're like, what kind of cruel joke is this?
Yeah.
You have barriers in every spot. And then you throw something out there and go, let's breastfeed to two.
Yeah.
That's what we think, that's what you should be doing. But no help. No help. We're not going to offer you any kind of help. We're just going to put this out there. Like, it was unbelievable. It was almost comical how many barriers were everybody was up against when it came to feeding your child. And that the amount of support is so limited.
When you say it's almost comical, it's like, if you don't laugh, you just like cry, right? Oh, and there's really no point in that. I mean, that hasn't gotten us anywhere. But yeah, no, it's exhausting, unrelenting. And I say this, and I hope people take it the right way, or maybe they'll take it the wrong way, and that's just that's just on brand for me. But I feel like all of the ways in which technology and the workplace and society has failed new parents and breastfeeding mothers is consistent with like geisha foot binding and putting women in high heels. Sure, it's perceived as attractive, but it also means we can never effectively run away or take ourselves anywhere. It's just, it's telling us to be successful and to run as hard and as fast as we can toward a goal, the goal being to keep our child alive and be successful in the workplace or continue our lives out of the workplace in the home, however that looks, like running your family, getting groceries, doing laundry, like all the things, getting your kids from A to B, and do it in high heels and a tight skirt and like, you know, like, let's see how fast you can run with both hands tied behind your back.
And we will be right back with more from Lisa from Sarah's Chill. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Pump and Pal. Pump and Pal angled flanges are here to upgrade your pumping journey. Designed by a caring father to help his wife pump, the angled flange is the answer for parents needing something different than the common shape of standard flange that comes with your pump. Pump and Pal flanges are designed to help improve your flow of milk and not constrict your milk ducts because of the way the flanges are able to shape to the natural angle of the breast. Pump and Pal offers medical grade silicone flanges designed specifically for parents that would be considered to have elastic nipples. This type of silicone is made to hold onto the breast tissue so that your nipple is not pulled deep into the tunnel, like we see with the hard plastic flange. Pump and Pal now has a new milk storage bag that has a thermal sensor on the bag to help you indicate when the milk is too hot, too cold, or just right. And you can now try 5 bags and their new sterilizer bag for free. Just pay $2.99 for shipping and handling. And you can use code BADASS at checkout for $4 off any of your orders at pumpandpal.com. That's PUMPINPAL.com, code BADASS for $4 off. And you can check the promo codes and the links in of our sponsors in the show notes under this episode wherever you're listening from, and also at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com, where you'll also find all of our episodes and information about scheduling your very own one-on-one online lactation consultation with Diane. Now back to Lisa.
I remember when I was at work, I was always worried about how long I had for my breast milk, which was a silly thing. I wasn't always worried, but it was always there in the back of my mind. How much time do I have left with the cooler? And I was out with all of these guys, and they all had new babies too. We were all colleagues, and they didn't have to give another thought to that. So my question was always, do I leave this important like gathering of people that I know are not only friends and colleagues, but people who could advance my career and thereby help my family? Or do I throw my milk out? Or do I step away and, you know, beg the forgiveness or ask for a special favor from the restaurant to put it in a fridge. And it's just something that, you know, never had to cross those guys' minds. And so, I mean, that was definitely what drove me to change things. And it's just so nice to be in a space where you guys challenge the status quo and other founders and inventors are looking for opportunities to help moms live their lives and see success in their breastfeeding journey and thereby create a better world for our kids. Like whether that's just by being sustainable or changing the norm, it's been great to be a part of that community and to see how quickly things are changing because it's fast. It's yeah. really fast, Diane. It's not been easy and it's not as fast as maybe some of us would like, but it is moving at a pretty impressive clip.
Wow. It's amazing, huh? The changes.
And about time, I guess.
Yeah, it's about time. It's about time. But, you know, as you were talking about how, you know, that you were put in a situation where you had to always wonder, was your milk going to still be okay when you were out with people that didn't have that concern? Like, nobody should have to have that concern, right? Like, it shouldn't be anything we need to worry about.
Or to stop breastfeeding for, right?
Exactly.
So
yeah.
What I hear from all the time, I kind of jumped right in, but so I invented Series Chill, which originally was, I'll just say, just a breastfeeding chiller, and it can keep milk cold for, you know, over 20 hours, handful of ice, all the cool stuff. But there's the product that started it, but then there's the community that's come up around it. And then the women that I've gotten to know, like you, that are absolutely changing things, that reach out to say, I'm breastfeeding. I wouldn't have breastfed if I hadn't had an opportunity to store my milk like this. And also women who've listened to your guys' advice and have been changed by it and encouraged to save their milk, not throw it away. You know, they're in pain, find a way through the pain, around the pain, without the pain. You know, I think, I don't know, I'm optimistic that things are changing for the better. And I know, I mean, I'm getting a little off course, like the sustainability stuff is what we're going to talk about. And it's the plastics, I think, that are really starting to have an impact on the environment and on the way moms feel about their breastfeeding journey. I think that, you know, more and more parents are being educated about the impact on the environment, the impact of the environment on their health, and being able to participate in an economy that is considering the world for their children and the world for their health has had an impact. So I don't know what you guys spoke about in the last episode, but there's a lot of things that we can do as breastfeeding parents and even as formula feeding parents and just parents in general to be responsible stewards and to feel good about what we're doing overall. I hope.
There is a lot of stuff that can be done, I think, as well. And we did an episode a little while back too about like contaminants in breast milk, because people really worry about that now, worry that they're, you know, because of the environment, the way the environment is, what are we passing to our babies through our breast milk? Are we going to contaminate our babies through our, you know, because we're breathing in this toxic environment? And is that going to be something that is dangerous to our children? But
yeah, and that's there. I mean, that's there for sure. And unfortunately, I think because of all these forever chemicals, they're in us. God, that's a real doomsday perspective, real Mad Max of me. But I think they're with us. But I mean, the microplastics and particles that are ingested by infants from single-use breast milk storage bags are estimated to be like 0.61 to 0.81 milligrams a day based on the average daily breast milk intake by infants. And I'm not saying that to panic people. It's just something to be aware of when we're figuring out our storage and, breastfeeding versus formula. I shudder to think how much plastic my daughter ingested from those, the ready to feed, formula bottles. I mean, that had to have been substantially more. The other thing, the single use plastic containers that are in baby care products amount to 120 billion units of packaging. I mean, it's just
crazy amount.
It's staggering. Yeah. And again, I worry that I'm like saying all this stuff and people are like, oh my God, why am I listening to this? Nobody needs this in their life. Yeah, I know I should be using cloth diapers and I know I should be nursing my child directly. But I need disposable diapers and I need plastic bags. And I think the thing to think about, what drives me as a founder and a parent is the opportunity for change. And then I'll be quiet, Dan, because I really want to hear your questions. But why can't our strollers convert into tricycles and maybe a bike? Like, there are really smart people out there. Why do we have, multi-thousand-dollar strollers that are nothing but waste when your child is beyond the age of one or two, unless you have another child or unless you leave that fancy stroller to someone? But eventually, it's got enough graham crackers on it that nobody wants it anymore. And then it's just landfill, right? And like all of the snooze and not to call out companies, but the products that I'm talking about and the cribs, why can't they become something else? So I have the chiller. And again, it's not to be boastful about what I'm doing, but it's just where my mind goes as a parent. Because first of all, Diane, let's be real. I am cheap and I am practical. I am spending money on something that is going to be landfill in a couple years is just, not only does it make me feel guilty and I don't need any more mom guilt in my life, it's annoying to me. It's just plain straight up wasteful. So the chiller can be used for like coffee, wine, tea in the future. And now this is the really big fun thing. And this is where I want everybody's mind to go. Like, what is possible? Where is the world going? How can we eliminate waste and create opportunity for awesomeness? So I have a glass bottle, which again is to address all of the plastic that we're ingesting and all of the single use nonsense we're engaging in. Glass bottle. And I'm going to try to describe it for you, Diane. I want you to close your eyes and picture it. It's on one side, it's lavender that measures ounces for your milk. On the other side, up to 7 ounces. On the other side, it's rosemary, and rosemary measures milliliters, and it's a square bottle. So it doesn't roll off a table, and a child can hold it. My little hands can hold it. And it has a silicone sleeve, but it's also borosilicate glass. So if you drop it from a height of 6 feet on concrete, even without the silicone sleeve, it does not break. It does not shatter. It is resilient. But this is the thing. Baby bottles are all so, I'll just say, industrial or institutional, right? Like, you look at them and they're a baby bottle. Whether they're plastic or they're glass, you immediately know. So with this, it's beautiful. It looks like an apothecary bottle. And then it comes with a silicone nipple, slow flow nipple, for all the moms out there that are nursing or just trying to preserve their child's, like, just don't ingest it all in one breath. And exactly. So it'll have a slow flow nipple, and then also a flat cap so you can just store something in it in the fridge. But then wait for it, Diane, an oil and vinegar dispenser and a lotion and soap pump. Because why not, right? Like, why wouldn't we make our baby bottles so beautiful you want them all over your house? When your child is done with the bottle, oh, and a sip top too. So when they're done with the nipple, move on to the sip top. And when they're done with the sip top, put it by your nightstand, put it on your kitchen counter, put it in your spare bathroom, live with it. And then when you have your next child, go around the house and gather them all up again, or like take them to a friend's house. You know, you're done with having kids. Take them to a friend's house as housewarming with like, you know, flowers from your garden. God bless you if you grow flowers, you know, and like take flowers in it or something. But like, why can't the world have products that are meaningful, that we cherish, that are not trash, but are so much more and fill us with memories and opportunity rather than guilt and frustration? That's all. That's my TED talk on why I founded Series Chill.
Just to make it sustainable. No, and I love that. I love that you take things and you're like, there's multiple uses that you can have with them, because you're right. We should be able to have multiple products out of one thing. And there's not too many things that I can think of that you can actually do that with. I mean, some cribs do convert to a toddler bed. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the point is of having a newborn car seat when you just have to buy a different car seat in a couple of months. So people having, you know, the regular stand-up all-in-one car seat is so much better than you never have to switch it out. You always have that one car seat. You know what I mean? Instead of, you know, having that newborn bucket of a car seat, which I had those, but then, you know, when you're done with them, you're done with them and you can't use them forever and you have to graduate to something different. So it's like, why do we have to be graduating to anything else? Why can't we just like you said, make the tricycle into a bicycle.
Yeah.
Make the stroller into something else.
Right. And there's so many smart people out there. And I got to say, I think it's moms.
Yeah.
So many smart people. And I just think there's opportunity. So, I mean, in the meantime, as crazy as it is, but like investing in things, I mean, there are these toys that look like art. And I think that's admirable and beautiful. Like, whether it's, you know, Melissa and Doug, like wooden toys or, you know, whatever it is, like toys that you want to have out that maybe can stay with you. That's beautiful. Like, I mean, cloth diapers. I mean, I have to say, I have a couple of friends who are saints who did cloth diapers, and man, those kids were potty trained fast. Mm-hmm. Serious motivation. A poopy cloth diaper is like, you get right on that apparently.
Yeah. I mean, I had wanted to cloth diaper. I did not. I will put that out there. I filled the landfill with the disposables as well. But I wanted to do cloth diapers. They weren't as popular when my kids were born. My first son was born and we moved from North Carolina to New York when he was 10 days old. And I didn't want to try to do that with cloth diapers. And I didn't even think about starting with disposables and changing over to cloth later. I didn't even give it a thought. I was just trying to survive. So never went back to it. And then I thought, well, the next baby, I'll do cloth diapers. And then I had a set of twins. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to cloth diaper with twins. That's too much.
No.
So didn't do it. But had always wanted to. And then it became a way bigger thing to cloth diaper. And I think that is... you know, that has taken off because of people want to just start to try to make a difference. And it's better for the environment and it's better for your kids. And I think that is a step in that is definitely a step in the right direction. How much that has changed since my kids came up.
Yeah. And it's tricky because it takes so much planning. And I know... and for instance, my brother and sister-in-law, they had twins and they were going to do cloth diapering, but they were like, it's overwhelming. We have three under two.
Yeah, and that's how I was.
So how are we going to survive this? And so they subscribed to a service that would come pick it up, which is, again, that's privilege there. I don't deny that buying the things that are sustainable is an investment. The only way it makes sense is if it works for you long term and you can see your way through additional expenses. So like Series Chill will save you, or the milk stash will save you the plastic bags and the plastic bottles and, you know, all of the washing. So there you save. If you think you're still going to use plastic bags and plastic bottles, don't bother. Like you can't, well, I mean, no, I wouldn't say that. Like, still good for the environment, but it's still, it's the investment for sure. And I think that's, the United States is so hard on our new parents. So like no paternity leave, pathetic, pathetic maternity leave for the demand that's placed on mothers every day. And then we have products like Series Chill, and they don't, parents have a hard time seeing the value of the investment. They're like, I could get a cooler, you know, a cheap cooler for $25, or I could spend, you know, over $65 on a chiller. Why wouldn't I just get the cooler? Whereas in other parts of the world where there's so much support for breastfeeding and people realize they're in it for the long haul, they see the value. It's much more understandable. And so kind of back to your point about the diapers, I wish I would have tried harder, but those parents that are washing diapers, it is, it's a slog. That is no joke. I give them all the credit. Those parents and exclusive pumping moms, they are saints in my
life. Yes, I agree. I cannot agree with that more. They are doing it all.
They are doing it all. The other thing I would say, like all doom and gloom, I feel like I have to come back with something peppy next time. I'm gonna definitely have other ideas for conversation. But you know, there's really, really neat companies out there too that I know the CEO, I know the management team over at Goodbye Gear. Do you know about Goodbye Gear, Diane?
I do not.
Oh my gosh. See, I'm sharing something meaningful today. So Goodbye Gear, it's goodbye, like B-U-Y. And it's only top quality baby products. They take open box products from retailers. So Snoo and Stork, like all of these amazing, amazing companies out there, Lansnow, Medela, LV, Willow, all of the products you can think of that would matter to your community. They take the products in, open boxes from the retailers, inspect them, determine whether or not they're brand new or if they've been used, sterilize them, and then offer them back to parents. So they have a crazy goal of, I don't know, taking billions. I'm just going to say this because I really do believe they have an audacious goal and they're going to meet it. Billions of pounds of waste out of landfills over the next 3 years. But it's strollers, it's cribs, it's, you know, breast milk chillers, pumps, and you can buy them at a significantly reduced price, and you're keeping things out of landfill, and you are bringing things into your home in a more affordable way. So maybe you were thinking you were going to be dependent on plastic, but now you can get a Series Chill or a milk stash or a wearable pump or something that's going to help you get through your breastfeeding journey and rely less on formula. So I just think what they're doing is so impressive. And if there's anything I can ever do to better support them, and I'll say, Diane, and then I'll calm down. Parents, your listeners, this community can sell their stuff on Goodbye Gear as well. So it's retailers like me and, you know, the other big names in the baby space, but also individuals in the community can present their products, and then Goodbye Gear assesses whether or not it's in good enough condition to sell, and then make sure that it's sterile and it's properly advertised in the right condition, and then it's up for grabs, and then parents can make money too, and keep stuff out of landfills.
That is amazing, and it's kind of like a larger scale operation from like the little consignment shops and things like that turn over baby clothes.
Yeah.
And people love those. I mean, those are some great stores where you can, you know, hey, my kid grew out of these clothes, go in, turn them in, and then you get to shop for whatever, you know, you want to from gently used clothes that are in there, because let's face it, baby clothes are the most least worn clothes there are.
I know. And they're always, and I mean, the worst was pulling something out of the closet or the drawer and be like, oh, tags on. Wow. And it's too small.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That would happen in the blink of an eye. I'm like, that's great. And this is beautiful. Well, you're never wearing it.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. That happened to me many times over.
Yeah. I mean, those consignment stores are great, but if you don't have one near you,
right.
It can be a little hard, and so much shopping happens, I have to say, especially because this is the Badass Breastfeeder, while we are breastfeeding at 3 a.m. I mean, that's when most of my shopping still happens. And so that is not at the adorable local consignment shop. That is happening in the middle of the night when only thieves are perusing store windows. So, so it's nice to have an online resource like that where you can offer your stuff up and get some bucks, and also look for stuff that you really need that could help you live a more inspired, sustainable lifestyle, whatever it is we're going for. I mean, I feel so hard. It's so hard for me to say it out loud. I just have so much guilt around it, because I'm like, God, I know the slog. I know how hard it is. And yet it's what we all, what so many of us aspire to do when we have like free energy and free thought. And then you have to just like brush it aside and say, no, we're just surviving today. Like, I'll save the environment a different day. And I so relate to that. And if there's any little thing I can do to make both being an awesome parent and living a sustainable, inspired life accessible, that's what I want to do. I mean, just empowering parents, like, live the way they want to. That's what it's all about, right?
Yeah. But then they're also bringing up their children to see this, you know, to see this saving the planet. And they grow up with that. I mean, my generation didn't grow up saving the planet. My generation grew up destroying the planet. Like, it just, that's what we did. And that is not how I want my kids to function. I want it to be different for them.
Yeah, I was right there with you. And I think it's because it wasn't intentional. We weren't doing it intentionally,
but
it was just like,
we didn't know anything.
Yeah. Destroying the planet seemed so remote. We seemed so small in our ability to A, destroy the planet, and B, save the planet. We were like, I give up. Like, I'm going to just chew my gum and throw it on the street and, like, you know, whatever it is, I'm living my life. And now I think the parents that are trying to make it all happen for themselves and their kids are much more aware of the impact they have as an individual in their own journey and in the world, which is so inspiring. And that is why I keep going. It would be very easy to just quit and do something easier. I mean, heck, being a lawyer was way easier than founding a company everybody told I was crazy to start. But everybody was like, you're nuts. Like, coolers and fridges exist for a reason. Like, get out of the way. Why are you endangering your family like this? But it's been so worth it to be in the conversation, to see what's possible. Because I don't have all the ideas. I'm just part of the conversation. And Badass Breastfeeder is where so much of the good stuff starts. I mean, you guys always, you know, crack me up and inspire me. So any opportunity to get on and talk with you, Diane, I'm going to take it.
Well, that is very nice to say, because, you know, we don't think of ourselves like that. We're just like, why does anybody listen to us? We're just out there ranting about stuff. We're just, you know, we're just out there just putting it out there. If people listen, we feel very, very privileged to have people listen to us.
People are going to drop comments about why they listen. I hope they do. It'll be a lot of fun. I mean, I've heard from so many parents that listen to the breastfeeding myth conversation that we had however long ago, and they talked about how they saved more milk and they were able to keep breastfeeding and they worried so much less because of the conversation we had. So I don't know. That's pretty meaningful to me.
It is very meaningful.
Never stop.
It is very meaningful. And I hope, you know, if people that are listening, if you haven't heard that episode, I'll link it in the show notes, but it was, you know, we talked about the myths, basically the myths surrounding how you store your milk and how you should and should not store your milk. And there is a lot to be said for making life easier when it comes to pumping and storing and doing all those things, you know, because why do we have to make life harder than it needs to be? It's already difficult. Breastfeeding is difficult enough without the rules and all of the things that people are saying you need to be doing along with it. So we just try to make it a little bit easier for you as we go.
Yeah. Well, and all the shame that comes around not following the rules, or all of the sadness or waste you feel when you feel you have to dump milk out because you can't possibly endanger your baby by feeding that milk. And it's discouraging. It's, it's journey ending. I mean, and I do not take any issue with those moms that quit when they have poured one too many ounces down the drain. That makes perfect sense. Like I said, when you're literally liquefying your body to sustain another person and it just becomes nothing but waste, what's the point, right? Like why would you keep going? A sensible person looks at that and questions their actions. And so I don't know, for the good of the planet and the sanity of the parent and the health of the child, we have to do away with the myths and support each other and figure out a way for workplaces and travel and all of the areas that moms and dads go out into and try to feed their kids, like just make it a more supportive and conducive environment for breastfeeding so that it's a realistic and meaningful choice. So it's not as hard as, you know, cloth diapering, that it doesn't seem possible to some parents, and they're not, they don't feel like they're wasting themselves or their time, because that's the position so many parents are put in, and it's wrong. It's just plain wrong. I was looking for the word wrong.
It's just wrong. Yeah. There's no fancy word that needs to be added. It's just wrong.
Yeah.
And yeah, support is key. There's definitely not enough of it out there for our parents and in any way, shape, or form. Like, we should just be supporting whatever it is that you're doing in your parenting journey, because it is what works for your life and your lifestyle. And we shouldn't be judging it. We shouldn't be shaming that. We shouldn't be, oh, you're not doing enough.
You're not following the rules.
Not following the rules. You're not doing enough. You didn't read this book. You didn't watch this video. You didn't take this class. You failed. And
your gentle parenting is not gentle enough.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's just, that's constant. And we live in this society right now where everything is on social media, and it's a blessing and a curse, right? Because we look at it and it gives us information. It gives us good information sometimes. Sometimes it gives us bad information. Sometimes it gives us good information. But it also, you know, we're also always comparing ourselves to others, looking through this window of a perfect picture. And that's just such a skewed way to be. And it's such a skewed way to live our lives. And the support is just lacking.
Yeah, it's not a village anymore. Like, just listening to you describe it, it's not a village. It's this, it's this society of beautiful crystal palaces that like stand in front of us, not incredible little mud huts with thatch roofs and children playing between them. It's these glorious edifices that we all aspire to live in, or, and I shouldn't say we all, but it is hard to see, even when moms are showing their weaknesses, I'm still like, God, I wish I acknowledged my weakness that well, or I wish those were my only weaknesses, you know? And there's so much, especially around breastfeeding. It's like, I didn't produce enough. I'm an overproducer, or there's so much envy, and there's never just enough. Like no one ever has just enough or feels like they're doing the right thing. And I don't know, I think we all contribute to it. You guys do a great job of breaking that down. And to the extent that I can help, I'll say this, Diane, and I don't want to push this along to the point where everybody gets tired and nods off, especially if they're trying to breastfeed their child and listen to the podcast. But or maybe I do want that for them. Maybe let's just go to sleep. It's okay. I came up in a male-dominated industry. I was the only woman in my department. I managed to make equity partner at my law firm while, potty training and homeschooling during the pandemic and everything else. And to the extent that I could be helpful to anyone, I am legally trained. I have studied the PUMP Act inside and out. I am a huge advocate of exclusively pumping moms and pumping moms. I know the grind, and I so admire what you and Abby are doing. To the extent that I can be helpful, I have helped moms draft emails to their employers. And I just, in the spirit of sustainability and changing the world for the better, to the extent that I can be any sort of resource or help, we have a blog post. But if anyone wants to reach out to me, my email, if I can just give it, it's okay. So it's Lisa, LASAM for Myers, at serieschill.com. And you can like drop it in the notes as well. But if anyone wants to reach out to me, if you think that there's any way I might be helpful or, I don't know, contribute to what we're all trying to do as far as sustainability and, rights for new parents in the workplace and in the world goes, I'm happy to contribute to the effort. I'm always, always going to find ways to support the Badass Breastfeeder because, that is one of the front lines for bringing about change and supporting parents. But yeah, anyway, back to what I was saying, just listening to you talk about social media, it doesn't feel like a village. It definitely feels like this very, I don't know, like glamorous, glitzy thing that you're looking at off in the distance. And you're like, gosh, that's not for me. Like, that's not where I live. That's not my village. And it would be nice if we could help change that.
I agree with you on that. And on that note, we should probably wrap it up. But it's been wonderful talking with you again.
I could talk with you for weeks and months and days.
We could just chat on and on. Lisa and I were chatting before we hit record for like half an hour because we're just chatting.
I know, we're both sick. We both have a bit of a cold. I hope you guys will be able to edit out my coughs. But this was this has been something I've been looking forward to for a while. So I apologize to everyone if I was a bit of low energy or rambling. But hopefully, Diane, you'll have me back and you'll let me know how I can best support your community. It's exceptional. And if anyone wants to reach out, I'm serious. I'm not joking about my offer. If there's any way I can support what you're doing or the direction you're headed in whatever way, I'm up for it. I'm here for it.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for your time too. We value it so much. And for your amazing product. We love Serious Chill here at the podcast. So thank you for bringing us that as well. and all the wonderful products that come along with it. Love them.
I'm just happy to be here, Diane. Come on.
Well, thank you so much. And until next time, we will see you again.